It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for July 31st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Sony announced earnings today, but the real excitement might be about another set of data the Japanese tech giant opened the gates on. I'm talking about a bunch of classic PlayStation games it's putting online starting today. Some worry that's risky business, Leonida Inge reports.
The PlayStation Now streaming service will allow gamers access to classics like Saints Row 4, Metal Gear Solid, and Ratchet & Clank. Janelle Bonanno is editor-in-chief of the online gaming magazine GameFront.com.
It kind of widens the field up for those who, let's say, don't have a $599, PlayStation 4.
But you'll need a Sony Bravia television or a tablet. Sony says the plan is to introduce PlayStation to more customers on devices they use every day. Analyst Michael Pachter with Wedbush Securities is skeptical. He remembers the problems with OnLive streaming service.
So the only thing you're going to see from Sony is really old stuff with really low value, and they're not paying much for it. And because it has low value, they're not going to attract a lot of subscribers.
Sony hasn't released its full pricing list yet, but says most games will rent for between $2.99 and $19.99. I'm Leonida Inge for Marketplace.
This week, Twitter beat investor expectations on both revenue and user growth, boosting the company's stock almost 20% yesterday. But if you look at it as often as I do, you know that one of Twitter's challenges is that depending on who you follow, the conversation can feel repetitive. Well, a senior editor at BuzzFeed decided to do something about this problem, specifically as it relates to how many men she followed on Twitter. Katie Natopoulos started the unfollow a man hashtag and then basically stopped following all men. Katie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So obviously, if you ever did follow me on Twitter, you don't follow me anymore, I assume, at least. Why not?
6 months ago, I decided sort of as like kind of experimental stunt to try unfollowing all men on Twitter. There's a blogger and a founder of a startup called The Neil Dash. He had come up with this idea of he was only going to retweet women for a year. And I was like, okay, what if I did the same thing, but instead of my output, it was sort of the input. So I unfollowed all men. Turns out it's really nice.
Tell me more about why it's so nice. How has the conversation on Twitter, as you observe it, changed for you?
There's definitely moments where I'll hear from colleagues who still regrettably follow men that, there's this thing that everybody's talking about on Twitter. And I'll be like, nope, that's on man Twitter. The nicest thing, actually, is to sort of just start following a whole new set of people, all of a sudden made Twitter fun again.
All joking aside, in many cases, the discussion on Twitter is dominated by people like me, by white men. And this is a really sort of interesting solution to that problem.
You're not silencing anyone. They're still out there tweeting. There's just, I imagine, these dust balls rolling by as they gnash their grubby little hands into the keyboard.
I feel like you're making an assumption that all men's hands are grubby.
That's true. I know many men whose hands have never seen a day of work.
Katie Natopoulos is a senior editor at BuzzFeed. She started the Unfollow a Man movement. Katie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We think of the ambulance as a modern vehicle full of state-of-the-art technology that keeps people alive. But while they are an essential tool for emergency workers, these vehicles aren't always state-of-the-art. In fact, ambulances are in dire need of an update, as Tracy Samuelson reports.
Two paramedics on their way to help someone were killed when
emergency responders worked to free two of their own from this twisted wreckage Monday night.
Emergency medical services workers have on-the-job fatality rates that are nearly three times the national average. Jim Grove works in science and technology at the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS. He says bad vehicle design means ambulance workers often have to do their jobs without proper safety restraints, which he remembers from his past work in ambulances.
It was not uncommon to stand up and be doing chest compressions on somebody and having somebody hold onto my bunker pants and be going down the road at 35, 40, 50 mile an hour even.
ambulances can be dangerous for patients, too. Skip Kirkwood is the director of Durham County Emergency Medical Services in North Carolina. He says patient cots often aren't securely mounted to the inside of the ambulance.
If the ambulance decelerates quickly, that mount comes loose from the floor and the patient may fly forward like a torpedo.
Kirkwood says ambulances are overdue for a redesign. They haven't changed much since the mid-70s.
Essentially, those ambulances have been boxes built by ambulance manufacturers, many of whom had their original heritage as motorhome or Winnebago or travel trailer builders.
So DHS and other agencies are developing new standards and recommendations for ambulance safety. Future ambulances might have pivoting chairs for EMS workers that slide along a track so they can treat a patient and reach their gear while seatbelted. Jim Grove says DHS is also working on crash test standards for ambulances going 30 miles per hour.
I can't answer for why it's taken this long to get to this point. There has been crash tests been done, but not to the level and degree that DHS and its partners have been doing those, and especially with the crash testing dummies.
Even though DHS is developing these new standards, it will be up to each state to eventually adopt them. Another hurdle will be cost. Early estimates are that they could add $10,000 to $15,000 to the price of each ambulance. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Okay, that's it for us today. You can find more, as always, at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.